Chapter 5, In His Time. Years have come and gone since that canoe trip. We have ventured on many more trips since then, on our own and with our own three children. Each trip has brought us subtle and not so subtle lessons in trust. Life, however, doesn't just involve out tripping. It involves the daily chores at home, work, and church. Routine things like taking the kids to swimming lessons and skating and times of rejoicing and times of sadness. But through it all, God is present. Multiple moves seem to be part of our married life as we move from Mississauga to Manitoulin Island to Sudbury to Cochrane and back to Manitoulin Island in our efforts to keep working. None of these moves were easy, but God always provided new friends, new church families, new houses to live in, and new work. One of our longest stays was at Maple Grove Farm in Manitowaning, Manitoulin Island. There we had a lovely farm with open fields, hardwood forests, a picturesque century barn, and a fine house. It was an idyllic place to raise our children, to live and to work. And for 6 years, we did just that. Our three children, Randy Lynn, age 14, Joan, age 13, and Bill, age 9, all attended locally and joyfully participated in many activities. Like most families, these days we had managed to accumulate quite a bit of debt over the years with multiple moves, and we were kind of in a bad spot. Both of us working fairly steadily enabled us to keep just ahead of it. Unfortunately, there was a downturn in the economy, and I find myself short of work. Bob, too, was facing the possibility of being laid off for the winter. We did all the normal manipulating to try and resolve this for ourselves, but to no avail, and so we prayed specifically for steady work for Bob and me, and for help in resolving our debt problem. God is faithful, and he answered our prayer for steady work for me with an offer for full-time employment managing a store in Elliott Lake. There wasn't quite the answer we sought, since Elliott Lake was 200 kilometers away. We waited, but no closer work was found. We held a family council, and everyone was asked what they thought about moving closer to Elliott Lake. The family grudgingly agreed, knowing that the financial crunch we were in would made this necessary. Bob decided that it would be best for me to take the job, but he loved his farm dearly and hated even to contemplate leaving Manitoulin Island. However, I knew with absolute certainty that since God provided this job, he would also have our farm sell immediately and provide us with an even better farm closer to the new job. Surely God wouldn't want me to desert my husband and three children and travel 400 kilometers a day for work. Armed with a certain assurance, I accepted the job and started my new position in December of 1996. That year of traveling was done with a confident expectation that God would show his power and complete the task that he had started when he gave me the new job. A search was initiated to find the perfect farm in a suitable location. Bob would continue to work in Little Current while I would be working in Elliott Lake, so we needed to find a place that was about halfway between them. After much searching, a lovely farm was found just west of Massey, almost exactly halfway between our two jobs. Unfortunately, this farm was way too expensive for us to afford. We prayed and waited to see how much we would get from the farm when it sold. I truly believe that God would work out all these details, since the new place was just so perfect. On the home front, the tough job of cleaning, painting, and tidying began in earnest to prepare the Manitoulin farm for sale. At last, the for sale sign went up. Then we waited and I drove. I left the house at 6:45 a.m. and got home most days around 8:30 p.m. I really had expected an offer on the house within the first month of listing, but Bob calmly told me that even if we got an offer, that we couldn't change the place until spring because the children are being in school and the trauma of moving the animals in the wintertime. What about my trauma? What about my plans? I mumbled. Ideas and plans just bubble out of me all the time. It's Bob's job to pop them before I float away with them. Oh, he is so infuriatingly practical. I grumbled and fussed, but eventually settled in to wait. Plans were reset, and anxiously I awaited the spring of 1997. That first year took a bit of adjustment for all of us. Concerns about my family unity tormented me. I felt like a deserter, since I was the wife and the mother, and yet I was absent much of the time. In the end, I gave this up to God, as it tells us to do in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. My prayer life revolved around this issue and about selling the farm. Amazingly, changes started to happen. Instead of the family falling apart, the family was drawn together. Because I wasn't there, everyone had to pitch in to help, and this caused a real spirit of unity to develop. Before this, I did most of the home chores, cooking, cleaning, homework, kids' activities, while Bob did the animal chores and worked. Bob was not at all engaged in the day-to-day care of the children. Our new routine went something like this. I set the menu for the day, initially providing cooking instructions, and made the lunches. One child was responsible for preparing the meal, one for cleaning up, and one was the gopher. This was all done while Bob fed the animals and did his barn chores. He would then come in for dinner, and they would all eat together, then clean up. By the time I got home from work, dinner was done, the dishes were clean, the whole family was sitting in the living room, the children doing homework while listening to their dad read the latest story. Never did get to hear a single complete story, arriving home at each night in time to hear only the last part of each chapter. I would then greet everyone and proceed to go with each kid to bed, where I would plop down to listen to their news and to pray with them. Finally, about 10 p.m., Bob and I would sit together on the couch and catch up with each other about the news for the day. Finally, the spring of 1997 arrived, and we had done really well throughout the winter and had grown together as a family. I talked to God on my trips to and from work, thanking Him for the lessons that had been learned and for the slight delay in my plans so that the family could grow. Oops, does anyone see anything wrong with my thinking? I really had learned nothing yet. I was being patient with God, allowing Him to slip up while I graciously waited for Him to do it right. Eek, what was I thinking? Just who is the potter and who is the clay? I prayed, "Okay, Lord, now you can sell the farm." I imagine you can guess what happened. First of all, the really expensive farm in Massey, you know, the one that I really liked, that was perfect, situated halfway between Bob's job and mine, sold. Next, our farm didn't. In fact, no one even looked at it. I cleaned it, manicured it, spiffed it up daily, but no one even looked. And I still drove to work, day after day, mile after mile. Talk about unfair! The summer passed as usual. Haying season, harvest, canning, and preserving, all squeezed into the precious time that was left over after work and driving. In December, the first anniversary of my new job arrived, and there I was, still driving 400 kilometers per day. The farm was still not sold, so I did what every great female does. I cried, all the way to work and back. I was sad and disillusioned. After all, hadn't we prayed? Hadn't God given me this new job? Hadn't we made the best of it, all working together? Hadn't I waited fairly patiently all year for God to sell the farm? In a whisper to God, I asked, "Haven't I been faithful?" I asked in my heart, "Where are you, God? Why aren't you doing your part?"